Okay, so what you're discussing in class last week?
Anyone was here last week?
Partial, neutral, or reciprocal?
Can't hear.
Is Krishna partial, neutral, or reciprocal?
What is the answer?
Partial.
He is partial.
Neutral.
He is neutral.
And reciprocal.
And?
Reciprocal.
Reciprocal. Okay. Good. Any other points? Three types of devotees are discussed in Canto 7. Shuddha Bhaktas, the Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, the Kama Mishra Bhaktas, in other words, the Mishra Bhaktas, and the Jnanis. Very good. It teams with a little bit of bhakti. Okay. And also, Uti is described within this canto. Uti means? Inclination. Yeah, one's inclination. That one can be born with a demoniac inclination or a divine inclination, a devotional inclination. Both these things will be seen. The devotional inclination is shown in the character of Prahlad Maharaj, and the demoniac propensity or mentality is shown in Hiranyakashipu. Shuddha Bhakti is discussed within the first 10 chapters in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj, and then Jnana Mishra Bhakti and Jnanis, they are described within the final 5 chapters.
So, I mean, not from this, but we discussed about devotional service, more of goodness, passion.
Everyone will have to move forward. All the men will have to come forward because there's no room. Drew, come forward.
Devotional service in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, as described by Lord Kapildeva.
All of you guys who have just entered, you're too late. It's too late. Class is already underway. A seat, you have to be a little bit more on time. I know it's difficult, but you're going to have to get it. Yogi also, you're going to have to do that. A little bit too late.
Devotional service in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, as explained by Lord Kapildeva. So, shall I can remember the other two? Devotional service in the mode of passion and ignorance, both of them are separate. The one in passion actually works for his prestige. One is ignorance actually fights with other devotees.
Okay, that's good. Any other points from last week?
Do you understand that tonight, anybody? Who is there? How much is favored by the Lord? Is he going to serve you by his life? And you can, and any expert person, you can recognize how much devotion he has done.
Can you say that promotion is devotional service in the mode of passion, and the other mission is devotional service in the mode of freedom? So you make the generalization.
Can I make sure as what?
Can you make the generalization?
Yeah, I heard the first part. What was the second reference? Jnana Mishra is compared to what?
Dharma Mishra is the devotional service in the mode of passion.
Not necessarily, but maybe some correlation. You couldn't say exclusively that that is true. Not exclusively. Any other points? That's possible. Anything else?
One should not envy one who is favored by Lord. I mean, if someone is making a high spiritual advancement, the other devotees should understand that he's been favored by in the Lord and not get envious of this.
Not just spiritual advancement, material.
Yeah, you have to speak loudly so the whole group can hear. Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 16 to 24, and we'll pick up on the conversation between Maharaj Yudhishthira and Narada. And Maharaj Yudhishthira is questioning how it is that Shishupal could attain mercy from Krishna and merge into his Brahma Jyoti, even though he was envious of him. And Narada will explain this point, begin to explain. It was a famous conversation. Yes, sir?
Of the 10 subject matters in Canto 6, we said it is portion of. What is the subject matter in Canto 7?
If you look at the front, because Prabhupada, he gives one of the subject matters at the front of each. Okay? So he says, the science of God. Isha Anukata. Is that that? But it's not specifically mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the beginning, what we covered last week about the Shuddha Bhakti and like this, then he doesn't specifically say that this canto is like Poshanam or like that. Whereas in the sixth canto, he did say that. He said the sixth canto is specifically describing Poshanam. But we see that it's not that just each subject matter is in a particular canto. Even though Prabhupada, he gives Saga, Visarga, Stanam, like that, he's giving the different, and then Ashraya will be the 10th canto, and Mukti is giving there in the 9th canto. So he's giving like that, those titles, but it's not that each canto is just exclusively discussing that subject matter. It also has other subjects. Each canto has several subject matters, you could say like that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is not giving any indication that Canto 7 is Canto 6, he said, that is Poshanam, but Canto 7 he doesn't specifically say. Prabhupada also does not specifically say. Okay. Although he calls this canto... how does he say it? Science of... The science of God. Okay. Any other points? Speak loud so they can
all. Generally it is very difficult to see the soul. So...
Everybody in the arena sees Shishupal's Atma enter into the Brahma Jyoti of Krishna. Now everyone in that arena is seeing Krishna. So everyone in that arena is seeing God himself. Like that. Prabhupada explains in the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, he says that Duryodhana also saw Krishna, but he did not understand his Bhagavan. So everyone in that arena could see Krishna, but how they saw Krishna is according to their purity. Just like you see when Krishna entered into the arena of Kamsa in the Mathura, then we see that so many people saw him in different ways. So many people enter into the temple and they see Radha Ballabha, but they may not see Radha Ballabha as Bhagavan. So people can see God or they can see the spirit soul, but they may not understand it perfectly. Krishna also says that in the 30th verse of the second chapter of the Gita, he said, some look on the soul as amazing, some describe him as amazing like that soul. So not everyone sees the soul equally. Any other points? So we'll start with verse 16. Are you with us, Sydney?
Yes, Prabhu. you, Prabhu.
Okay. God bless you, Sydney.
Thank you, Prabhu. You're very much needed.
God bless your Harbour Bridge.
Thank you, Prabhu.
You're welcome. Okay. Chapter verse 16. Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired, "It is very wonderful that this demon Shishupal merged into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though extremely envious. This Sayuja Mukti is impossible to attain even for great transcendentalists. How then did the enemy of the Lord attain it?" Chaitan?
There are two classes of transcendentalists, the Jnanis and the Bhaktas. The Bhaktas do not aspire to merge into the existence of the Lord, but the Jnanis do. Shishupal, however, was neither a Jnani nor a Bhakta. Yet, simply by envy of the Lord, he attained an exalted position by merging into the Lord's body. Certainly, this was astonishing, and therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira inquired about the cause of Lord's mysterious mercy to Shishupal.
Okay. So what are the points of interest in this first paragraph?
Bhakta do not aspire to merge in the body of Lord, but the Jnani do.
Yeah. Anything else?
From the Vishnu's point of view, Shishupal is considered as an enemy of Krishna. So how could he then attain such a high level? From Yudhishthira's point of view, he's wondering how Shishupal could attain such a high state considering that he was an enemy of Krishna. So you would naturally expect a different result, perhaps him being a kshatriya at that point of view. An enemy needs to be punished when someone comes to the body. But Krishna is said to fool you.
Anything else?
It shows to me about can destroy his mercy and anybody. Mm-hmm. Because he knows the power of Krishna.
The first is, one touches the fire, one is definitely going to get hit. If one touches the Lord, then he's definitely going to get purified. Now, he's neither a Jnani nor a Bhakta, he's not even a Dharmi, he's a Vikarmi. He's less than a Dharmi. He's envious like a Sattva. If such a soul basically, you know, hates the most of them, what people are going to do.
It's actually, when we use all the other things like lust, anger, greed, pride, envy. Envy is the only thing I think which is in the material world, which is not appreciated in the spiritual world. And still, having envy against the God, and still he is able to sort of be with the God, I suppose, emerging to the Brahman.
There's something a little like envy in the spiritual world. Obviously, it's not like in this world, but an example is between the right-wing gopis and the left-wing gopis. There is like a competition like that. But then, ultimately, the competition is giving Krishna pleasure and increasing everyone's ecstasy. Whereas envy in the material world, when that is there, then people's ecstasy is not increased. And one does not come closer to Krishna. One goes further from Krishna. Like that, so. A little bit late, guys. I know, sorry. I know. But it can't be a habit. This late is too much. I chastised the other guys, and you're getting the extra. Don't make it a habit to come this late. Last year, that's fine, but this year, it's not excusable. If it keeps happening after the first term, I'll start deducting marks. Like that, so. It's part of the course, actually. 5% of your final mark is actually your behavior outside of the classroom, so it does count. So you will lose marks, so take that into account. So. Any other point?
I heard a lecture which says there's a difference between killing by us and killing by Krishna.
when we kill, we only kill the cross body. When Krishna kills, he kills the subtle body. And that is why the soul gets freed and goes back to Brahman.
We usually hear about the causeless monkey, but here it is called the mysterious monkey. This is something different. We usually hear it called the causeless monkey. And this is called the causeless mysterious monkey.
Different word. It's not entirely gone, because you're in the Brahma Jyoti, and even though in one sense you're out of the material world, but Prabhupada describes it as the last snare of Maya, that now I'm thinking I am God as opposed to serving God. So you haven't developed that abhiman or that mentality or consciousness that I am God's servant. So it will not be considered that envy is completely gone from the consciousness. Therefore they have to fall back into the material world.
This is not a very good outcome.
Not a very good outcome? Yeah, if you go to the 10th canto, it says that it's useless. 10th canto says, just like you are beating the husk of the rice. So you're beating the husk of the rice. Why do you beat the rice? Because right? You want to break the grain from the husk. So someone's already broken all the grain is taken out of the husk, and then you come along, and there is only husk left, and then you're beating and beating. So what is the use? So much work, and you get nothing. So that's what the Bhagavatam says.
But why is it mentioned that it's impossible for you to break?
Because same thing, it's very difficult to do it. Krishna says that in the 12th chapter of the Gita. This path to the impersonal end is very troublesome and difficult to perform. Our path is very easy to perform, and we make it very complicated. Actually, it's easy what we have to do. Dance, chant and take prasad. Is it difficult? Then why do you complicate it so much? Why has it become so complicated? Actually, it's not difficult to go back to Godhead. We make it difficult. Any other points?
Yeah. Can you say because his envy against Lord Krishna, so he was absorbed in that envy and therefore he got his identity?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, he's asking the question. He knows. They understand the answer. Parikshit already understands the answer, but he's asking Shukadeva so that it will become more prevalent. Like that, so. Okay.
Jaya and Vijay were the Nitya Siddha devotees, and because of the misunderstanding of the four Kumaras, they had to come down. So basically, they were in the perfect stage already serving the Lord in Vaikuntha, right? But it was just the plan of the Lord that they came down. So in one sense, there was no envy or there was no, but just because of Lord wanted to fight, they took up the role of a perfect opposition party. So their destination was anyway fixed to go back to Godhead after three lives because they choose that. So how can we say like their situation is similar to ours, or?
Well, it's a little bit similar, but it's not exactly the same. Ours is not a leela. Yeah, so it's not the same. But, you know, there are some similarities. They're covered, but they're really feeling.
Are they covered in Maya or Yogmaya?
Maya? Very hard to say.
It has to be yoga because they're already...
Be careful saying it has to be. Be careful saying it has to be. Not that. Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Because Yogamaya doesn't usually make you an enemy of Krishna. Yogamaya brings you closer to Krishna. They're actually feeling this sentiment at this point in time. This Bhava being an asura. It's actually, they're feeling it. It's not just an act. They're actually feeling hatred towards Krishna. So whether that's Yogamaya or Mahamaya, it's a little, you know, I can't say because I haven't seen a comment by the Acharya. I know Swami's coming soon. He knows all these things. So, please ask. Any other point? Okay. So, as we see here, the devotees never aspire to merge with Krishna. This is discussed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. It is described that a devotee will accept four types of mukti, but he will not accept Sayuja mukti. He will take Shashti, Samipya, Salokya, and Sarupya. He will accept those things because they do not hinder his devotional service. But the most advanced devotees don't even desire those things. They only desire to serve Krishna, and then Krishna awards them with those things. But a devotee never aspires to get Sayuja, to merge. So it's pointed out, the example is given, there are several examples which are given, but one of them is Hanuman, that at the end of the battle, when Ram returns to to Ayodhya, and then he says to Hanuman, please take a benediction. He says, do you want mukti? I will give you anything. So mukti is like the highest benediction practically. But Hanuman said, if mukti means that I lose my opportunity to serve you, then for me, that is the worst kind of hellish existence. So I will not accept anything like that. So a devotee will never accept mukti. The second important point which is there is that Krishna is all good by nature, or all auspicious by nature. In other words, whenever Krishna does something, it is only for the benefit of the other party. And Prabhupada explains this as we go through this section. For Krishna, there is no defect in his consciousness. And you'll see when you meet a very great person, there is not a defect in the consciousness. And the greater the person, the less defect there is in the consciousness. Just like if you examine Prabhupada, then you'll see there's no defect in the consciousness. Because he is an Amala Bhakta. Or a Shuddha Bhakta, a pure devotee of Krishna, a Kevala Bhakta. These are the highest types of devotees. There's no defect in the consciousness. And same with Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of all living entities, there is no defect in Krishna's consciousness. So whenever he does anything to anyone, it is only good. Only auspiciousness is achieved at that. So we know that Shishupal was a very special personality. He was actually the same demon, Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha, Ravana Kumbhakarna, and then the two brothers then came again as Shishupala and Dantavakra. And from birth, he was envious of Krishna. He was actually the cousin of Krishna. He was actually a direct relative. But he was envious of this person. He was envious of Krishna because obviously he was playing that role as a demon in this pastime that he could do like that. So, he was born with four arms. And it was said at the time of his birth, because normally if your child comes out with four arms, what do you think? Yeah, it could be either. Could be Narayan, but could also be a demon. It's not ordinary. Like that. So the parents were quite disturbed. Just like if the child has some defect, the parents are quite disturbed. So then, four arms were there, but then it was told, I think Narada may have said it, but it was one of the great personalities said, that when the person who is going to kill this child puts him upon the lap, then the two arms will disappear. So they were waiting, and then Krishna, who was the cousin, he came to visit the new child, And when he took the child upon his lap, the two arms disappeared. So then the mother was very upset, naturally. Because she said, Krishna, it is destined now that you will kill this child. And then Krishna, because he understood the heart of this personality, Shishupal was envious of him. He said, I will tolerate 100 insults from this person. But after that I cannot tolerate any more. I will have to kill. So I will forgive him 100 times. So the mother was appeased. She thought, well, how could he offend 100 times? You know. So then, Shishupali grew up, but he was envious of Krishna. So then, when it ended up coming to the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira Maharaj, this is told in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, then Yudhishthira was performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, and all of the great Kshatriyas of the world came. So Shishupal was a very powerful Kshatriya. And he came. And then, before the ceremony could begin, the Rajasuya sacrifice, they had to choose the most exalted person in the assembly to offer the first oblations to, or the first offerings would be offered to that personality. So we have to understand who was in that assembly. All the kings of the earth were present. All the great brahmanas were present. Even the devatas attended. Indra himself was sitting there. Even Lord Brahma came from Brahmaloka, and he was sitting there. Even Shiva came, and even Lord Vishnu manifested. So all the greatest personalities were there, and then they were asking, the great sages there, Narada was there, Angira, all of the great sages were there. So everyone was discussing and debating, who is the greatest personality here? Then finally, one of the twins, which one was it?
Sahadev.
Was it Sahadev? Okay. Sahadev was known to be extremely intelligent. So Sahadev said, of all the personalities here, the most exalted is Krishna. Now Krishna was performing Naralila, right? He was born on earth. He was not coming from Vaikuntha. He was not coming from Brahmaloka, but he was on earth. He appeared to be a Kshatriya prince at the time. So it was, not everyone could understand why Krishna was being chosen to be the most exalted person in the assembly. They didn't understand he was Swayam Bhagavan. Not everyone understood that point. So Krishna, when he was recommended that he is the greatest personality within this assembly at this point in time, then Shishupal became infuriated. And he stood up in front of everyone in the middle of the arena. And he said, who is this person? What is his caste? We don't even know what his caste is. You know, he's supposed to be a Kshatriya. He was born in the village. Not even a higher class, not even a prince. And then the insults came one again and again. So Krishna had his counting beads. So Krishna was just moving them down. And Krishna was looking. Krishna was smiling, because Krishna is unaffected all the time. So Krishna was smiling. He didn't take any insult. He was just counting very peacefully. And Krishna, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, I hope he doesn't keep going. It's not going to be good for him. So then, Bhima was infuriated. All the devotees were infuriated. Yudhishthira was infuriated. Everyone was infuriated. But the others could control themselves to some degree. But Bhima Sen cannot control himself. Yeah, he's too angry. When he gets angry, it's uncontrollable. So he was ready to get up, and he was just going to pick up the club and just go to the arena and just smash Shishupal in front of everyone. But sitting next to him was who? Bhishma. Grandsire. And how powerful was Bhimasen? He was as powerful as 80,000 elephants. And he was trying to get up, and Grandfather Bhishma had his hand on his hand, on his chair. He was trying to get up, and Bhishma was just sitting there, just holding his hand. And he couldn't move. Because when Maharaj Shantanu, when he did austerities, he prayed to get a child as powerful as Lord Balaram. Bhishma was practically as powerful as Balaram himself. That's how powerful Bhishma was. He was just holding Bhima. like that. It wasn't even moving. The people was trying to get up. Kisha was just holding him with one hand. And he just said, settle. He just said, settle down. He said, Krishna will take care of him, don't worry. So 99, 100. And then Krishna said, okay, enough. And then Sudarshan manifested. Right? And then Krishna said, chakra. Like that. And the chakra took his head off. Right? In the sacrificial arena. Right? And then his atma in front of everyone, the atma merged into Krishna immediately. And Krishna's Brahma, his effulgence, his Brahma Jyoti merged in front of everyone. So then Yudhishthira was amazed. Right? Great yogis are trying to attain this, and Shishupala just, what was his qualification? Right? His qualification was he just insulted Krishna out of envy, and yet he's merged into Krishna. So Narada was there. So he said to Narada, what is this? What is going on? Can you explain this to us? So this is the conversation now. Narada's about to give the conversation. What happened at that time? So, any questions? No points? So why isn't he asking Krishna? Is that the point? So he's asking Narada as opposed to Krishna because Narada is the sage. So in that culture, the Kshatriyas, they would give respect to the Brahmanas. So you'll see in the 10th canto also, there's another pastime where Narada comes into Dwarka and he enters into Krishna's palace. Then Krishna puts him on his own seat. He gets off his seat, puts him on his own seat, the royal seat, and then he bathes Narada's feet. And he takes the water and he sprinkles it on the head of everyone in the family. And then Rukmini is just standing there. She is just fanning the Lord like that. So that is etiquette or culture. Even though Krishna is there, but they will ask the Brahmanas for their opinion. Like that. Any other points?
Not able to recollect, but when the Kumaras curse the gatekeeper, did they curse them as to go back, get down to the material world, or get down to the material world as ourselves?
Apparently, it must be written in one of the Puranas. I've heard it. It's not in the Bhagavatam, but it must be there because it's quite often said. They were given a choice, 3 births as demons or 7 births as devotees. You must go to the material world for 7 lifetimes as devotees or 3 lifetimes as demons. And apparently they chose 3 lifetimes as demons. Because they said, let's just get this out of the way. Right. Just like if you're given a punishment, you say, okay, let's just get this out of the way quickly. Not that. But then they came a 4th time as Jagar and Madai. That's not spoken. Because Mahaprabhu's Leela, he is the Chana avatar, or the hidden incarnation. So therefore, it is not mentioned in the Bhagavatam because the Bhagavatam does not directly speak of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation. But they actually came that 4th time. And from Lord Chaitanya, they were given prema and they were put back into their position. Even from Krishna's association, they did not reach their final destination. So. Any other points?
Actually,
he said that if you have a physical body, that the effect of this envy would affect you. When you have a sentimental body, it didn't affect you at all. Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada will mention that in this decision. Okay, anything else? Okay, next verse. O great sage, we are all eager to know the cause for this mercy of the Lord. I have heard that formerly a king named Vena blasphemed the supreme personality of Godhead and that all the Brahmanas consequently obliged him to go to hell. Shishupal should have also been sent to hell. How then did he merge into the Lord's existence? from the very beginning of his childhood, when he could not even speak properly, Shishupal, the most sinful son of Dharmaghosh, began blaspheming the Lord, and he continued to be envious of Sri Krishna until death. Similarly, his brother Dantavakra continued the same habits. So this is demoniac consciousness. Now, in such a yuga, it is said that the demons and devotees are born on different planets. So you'll see in the Bhagavatam, it's described that sometimes the asuras attack the heavenly planets. We've seen this in the Bhagavatam. This is like Satya Yuga, different planets, the demons and the devotees. In Treta Yuga, we see in Ramachandra's pastimes, which are in Treta Yuga, then you'll see the demons and devotees are in separate countries. You know, some are in Lanka and the rest of them are in Bharatvash in India. So they're separated by the sea. Then in Dwarka Yuga, you see in the Mahabharata, the demons and devotees are in different families. Pandava and Kaurava. And then in Kali Yuga, the demon and devotee is in the same body. Just depends what day of the week it is. Monday is ruled by Chandra, the moon. Monday, or moon day. Right, Monday. So it's an auspicious day. Monday is auspicious. Tuesday is ruled by Mars. Right. Wednesday by Mercury. Thursday by Jupiter. Friday by Venus, Saturday by Saturn, and Sunday by the Sun. Like that. So it depends on the day of week, whether we see your divine or demoniac nature. It depends which side of bed you get out of. Sometimes you wake up, and it's the devotee. And other times you wake up, and it's not the devotee. It's the other person who lives inside us, the demon. So this divine and demoniac consciousness, actually in the Gita, when Krishna describes this in chapter 16, it's called divine and demoniac natures, then in the commentary by Baladevi Jibhushan or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of them says that the divine and demoniac nature is seen from the time of birth. You'll see in the children, as they're growing up, divine or demoniac nature. You'll see the quality is already there. Because it's coming from the previous life, the subtle body. So the way you start this life is from where you left off in your previous life. If you are divine or demoniac, that will be seen from the very beginning. Just like if you go to Mayapur, there's one devotee there called Ananda Tirtha. Does anyone know Ananda Tirtha Prabhu? You know him? Anyone else know? Okay, so maybe you don't know, but if you go there, then he has one son. The son is about 5 years old. Maybe not even quite that old yet, but he's 4 or 5 years old. And in the morning, they go to greet the deities in Mayapur. And if anyone's been to Mayapur, you may see this boy. You'll know who I'm talking about. So then, when the Panchatattva's altar opens up in the morning, and the curtains open up, and then the pujari takes a big mirror, and he takes it in front of the deities. And this boy, there's like the deity room, and then there's like a platform in front. So this little five-year-old boy, he has his little mirror, he gets up there, and he follows the pujari. Right, up and back. And then pujari puts down the mirror, and then he starts offering the chamra, and then he puts down his mirror, and gets his little chamra. Does it every morning in front of the deity. And then they take Prabhupada off the altar and then they circumambulate Radha Madhava, you know, and the deities. And then they take Prabhupada to his Lajamurti at the back of the temple and then they perform Guru Puja. And when the devotee, the pujari, is doing the aarti for Prabhupada, the little boy is right next to him and he has his own little aarti tray every day and he does the same thing as the pujari. And you see his consciousness is completely serious, completely sober. Right? And he does the whole arti. And very seriously for Prabhupada like that. So from the time of birth, this boy's been doing this since he was about 2 years old. Right? So from the time of birth, you see the divine or demoniac nature. It manifests. Right? Some children are angels, and some children are not angels. And some are both. Sometimes, just like my brother, my mother said to me, he said he was always either an angel or a, what did she call him? Actually, I can't say what she called him. So he's either an angel or a devil. Like that. And he's even like that now. He's just like, his personality is like that. He's like Gemini personality. So some days he's very like that, and other days he's different like that. So some people have that personality. So that's from birth. From birth we will see the nature manifest. So here we're seeing, it's being described that the demons, they were like that from birth. Shishupal, from the very time of birth, he was envious of Krishna. Another famous example in the Bhagavad time is Vena, right? He used to kill his school friends. They were playing, and he'd say, oh, look over the cliff. And they look over the cliff, and go, knock them over the cliff. Demoniac little boy. So this is seen from the time of birth, whether one is demon or one is devotee. Like that. What was that one? How what? What events there? Are they very advanced? Yeah. Yeah. His parents are both very advanced.
This boy comes to him by different class with a flower and gives it to the Maharaj. He's the, actually doesn't give it, he takes it to their nose.
Okay. Although these two men, Shishupal and Dantavakra, repeatedly blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu and Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, they were quite healthy. Indeed, their tongues were not attacked by white leprosy, nor did they enter the darkest region of hellish life. We are certainly most surprised by this. Jamuna,
Krishna is described by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita 10.12 as follows. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Paritram, Param Pavan. You are the Supreme Brahman, the supreme abode and purifier. Herein, this is confirmed. Vishnu yad Brahma param avyayam. The supreme Vishnu is Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Vishnu and not vice versa. Similarly, Brahman is not the cause of Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Brahman. Therefore, Krishna is the param Brahman, yad Brahman param avyayam.
So, any points? So this is the same point which is being made in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. The Paribhasa Sutra of the Bhagavatam states that Krishna is the source of everything. And the Gita, Krishna himself says, I am the source of everything. So this point is continuously being demonstrated within the Bhagavatam. So when we get to the 10th canto, the entire 10th canto is just demonstrating this point. That Krishna is the origin of everything. He's the source of Brahman, Paramatma, and all other sources of Vishnu. So he is the source of all incarnations. This will be described in the 10th canto elaborately. Even in the Brahma Vimohan Lila, we see his supreme opulence is being demonstrated. Because in that Lila, even Lord Balaram, for 1 year, did not know that Krishna had taken the form of all the cowherd boys and the cows. And then after, it was about 3 days before the year had finished, then Balaram said to Krishna, he said, have you done something? Because I can see that everyone in Vrindavan is treating everyone else just like they treat you. So he said, are you doing something? Is there some sort of pastime taking place? And Krishna said, oh yes. He said, 362 days ago, Brahma stole the cowherd boys and the cows. So now I am teaching him something. So even Balaram was bewildered by Krishna's potency. So Krishna is the original source of everything. So this is what the whole Bhagavatam is leading us to. Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, the source of everything. Any points? How was it possible for Shishupal and Dantavakra, in the presence of many exalted persons, to enter very easily into the body of Krishna, whose nature is difficult to attain?
Shishupal and Dantavakra were formerly Jaya and Vijaya, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. Merging into the body of Krishna was not their final destination. For some time they remained merged, and later they received the liberation of Sarupya and Sarokya, living on the same planet as the Lord in the same bodily form. The Shastras give evidence that if one blasphemes the Supreme Lord, his punishment is to remain in hellish life for many millions of years, more than one suffers by killing many Brahmanas. Shishupal, however, instead of entering hellish life, immediately and very easily received Sayujya Mukti. That such a privilege has been offered to Shishupal was not merely a story. Everyone saw it happen. There was no scarcity of evidence. How did it happen? Maharaj Yudhishthira was very much surprised.
Good. So what are the points here?
In the introduction of this chapter, Prabhupada mentions how Lord is transcendental and bad and good qualities are more material. And Lord does not see while giving, He is not partial to anyone, whether evil or it might seem on the material platform that Lord is partial to pious people or devas and impartial to, but on the transcendental platform, Lord is equivalent to both. And so sometimes even though it appears to us like Lord is favoring one and not other, but it's very, as that verse was saying, it is mysterious. It's not easy to understand.
Anything else?
What is the mention of Dantavakra? We have a word in Krishna book about Dantavakra blaspheming and Jinthoitred also being cut off and his soul also being
lost. Yeah, it's not mentioned, but it means he obviously did it. On that side. There may be in other Puranas or something.
But according to this explanation, was Dantavakra also given the same
No, that's a separate chapter of the 10th canto. Dantavakra gets killed by Krishna. I think from memory, he kills him in Mathura, I think. It's either outside of Dwarka or in Mathura. I think it's in Mathura. He goes down and kills him. But it's mentioned as a separate chapter where he takes care of him. All the demons get killed by the father. Any other points?
You mentioned the fact that Jaya and Vijaya basically wanted to get it over and done with three births. And as a result, we see that they actually merge into Krishna and then they get a sort of Sarupya Mukti after that. Is that Krishna is sort of saying, okay, because of the fact that you had that move to help assist me in fighting, that's why I basically sort of took you inside, but then again you get your natural position.
They attain perfection in the fourth appearance, as Jagai and Madhai. That's when they attain the perfection. See, first off, they get killed by Varaha and Nrisimha. Secondly, by Ram. Thirdly, by Krishna. So each personality is a more full manifestation of the Lord. Rupa Goswami explains in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita that Nisringadev, Ramachandra, and Krishna are Purna Bhagavan. They're the incarnations of Krishna which show the most of the Lord's opulence. So Nisringa, but Ram shows more than Nisringa, and Krishna shows more than Ram. But Mahaprabhu gives more mercy than anyone, even Krishna. So what is difficult to attain with Krishna is easily attained by Lord Chaitanya's grace. Like that. So if you understand from the Gaudiya position, if you understand the pastime of Jaghai and Madai, then we understand Lord Chaitanya's supreme position as Mahavidanya, as the most merciful incarnation of Godhead. Now when Lord... When Srila Prabhupada was lecturing, like on Gaura Purnima and these kind of things, it is generally always there that the pastime of Jaghai and Madhai will be mentioned. Because this pastime shows the Lord's supreme mercy, like that. And who saved Jaghai and Madhai? It was Nityananda Prabhu. And his appearance day is this Saturday. So it says, if you want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And if you want the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to get the mercy of Advaita Acharya, whose appearance day was yesterday. So did you fast? Yeah. Half day fast. But you have to pray. Fasting is not enough. You have to pray and constantly meditate. When it's an appearance day of an acharya, or if it's an appearance day of one of the incarnations of the Lord, the whole day is meant to, you're meant to be absorbed only in thinking of that person. That's the whole point of that day. So yesterday we were meant to be absorbed in thinking of Advaita Acharya to get his mercy. So then, Narottam Das Thakur said, if I get your mercy, then I can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And if I get his mercy, then I can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So that is the system. And today is what day? Oh, did you see the moon? Can you see? I think moon's out here somewhere at the moment, like that. Which day is it when the moon is like this? When you see half the moon, perfect. What day is that called? Ashtami. Ashtami, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, right? Ashtami is very auspicious, right? Because the moon is in half, like that. That means when the moon is Purnima, directly across from the sun, like directly opposite the sun, it's very powerful. Gaura Purnima, very powerful. And Ashtami, when the moon moves like a quarter, then it's in a trine, like a quartet from the sun, it's a very powerful day when the moon and the sun are in that position. That's why Ashtami is considered auspicious. So today is Bhishmashtami. Today is the day that Bhishma, grandfather Bhishma, left this planet. You know, in the Bhagavatam, it describes that Bhishma spent, I think it was 56 days on the bed of arrows, right? And then he chose to leave when he was ready. On this day, 5,000 years ago, he left. This was the day. Very powerful day, Bhishmashtami. So you can read about Grandfather Bhishma. You can pray for his mercy. He is one of the Mahajanas. Yeah, it's a very powerful day. And tomorrow is the disappearance day of Madhvacharya. It's a big week this week, actually. A few days ago, Friday was Vasant Panchami. A lot of Acharyas appeared and disappeared on that. Very powerful. This is a very powerful part of the year. And Thursday is Varaha Devs. Appearance in this world. Right? So half day fast Thursday, half day fast on Saturday for Nityananda Prabhu. Okay, so it's very powerful. I think is Haridas Thakur and Jiva Goswami? I think that's this week as well. I can't remember. But if you look at the calendar, it's just like a 10-day period. It's just full of very powerful days. So you need to absorb yourself on these days.
When is Ramanujacharya?
Ramanuj?
Ramanujacharya.
Yeah. Yep. Thursday and then Saturday, another one. Lots of tapasya. Yeah, it's, if you look at the calendar, it explains it. Yeah, if you look at the calendar, it explains it. I can't remember how it works, but it's, you follow it one day and then the next day you break the fast. So Thursday we do the half day, and then I think we break on the... I can't remember how it works, but something like
that.
Thursday and Friday, yeah. I can't remember. It's written on the guide. Explains how to do it. Like that. Yeah, because you can't fast. So yeah, okay. So to what it means, the actual appearance day is on the Friday, but we do the fasting on the Thursday because then we have to break.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how it works. Any other points?
Yeah, I just wanted to know. It says here that Shishupal works into the body of Bhakti, and that is the Sahaja Bhakti. So, I mean, Brahma Jyoti, is it the body of Bhakti?
No, it's not. It's not the body. It's the effulgence. The Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence.
Yes.
So they, those who attain, they don't merge into Krishna's body. They merge into Krishna's effulgence.
Yes.
So they don't actually go into his body. Yeah, it says that. It's actually just the effulgence. Yeah. They don't go into the body.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll keep moving. So this verse, which we just read, we have to understand that Jaya and Vijaya were associates. This has already been explained in the third canto, very elaborately. So if you need to study this pastime of Nisringadev fighting with Hiranyakashipu, then you need to have studied the third canto, where Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev. Because Prabhupada has already explained there that it is only the Lord's associates were powerful enough to give him a fight which was satisfying to him. Now, there was no one in the material world who had such potency. So he had to send two of the associates. He said, you go, and then we'll fight, and then it will be satisfying to me. But actually, there's no fight for Krishna, actually. It describes in this canto, it says, Nisringadev was just playing with a mouse. Just like a cat plays with a mouse, if you've ever seen it. The cat gets the mouse, he just plays with it. And when he's ready, then he just takes it and eats it like that. So Nisringadev was just playing with him. But even the demigods, when they were watching the battle, they became apprehensive. Because they saw sometimes Hiranyakashipu would escape from Lord Nisringadev, and they thought, now the demon will attack the Lord. But the Lord was not perturbed. But it gives him a good fight. He enjoys. Just like one of the first presidents of America, his name was George Washington. He said, I've mentioned this before, he said there is a certain thrill or excitement when you hear the sound of bullets whistling past your ears. Because he had fought on a battlefield and America was having these fights in the early days of America for independence. He had to go and people would shoot at him on the battlefield. And he said there's like a thrill when you hear like a bullet go straight past your ear like that. You can't get that excitement from ordinary things. That's why people like to fight. And whenever there's a fight, everyone comes and watches. I remember when we used to be at school, two of the kids would fight, the whole school ground would come and watch the fight. Or if the two great fighters... You know, I don't know who it is these days, but you know, when two of the great fighters fight, then everyone comes to watch the fight. Because people like to see it, so it's something exciting there. So Krishna likes to be a part of that. He likes to get in there and have a good fight. It's very satisfying to him. But he knows he's going to win. But he enjoys it still. Like that, so. Just like, you know, if I play tennis with Yogi, I know I'm going to win, but still I enjoy them. I enjoy the match. Isn't it? Good. You will pass your exam. Okay. So, which one are we up to? This matter is undoubtedly very wonderful. Indeed, my intelligence has become disturbed, just as the flame of a candle is disturbed by a blowing wind. O Narad Muni, you know everything. Kindly let me know the cause of this wonderful event. Right? So who knows everything? The Guru knows everything. Just like the reporter said to Prabhupada one time, Srila Prabhupada, or Swamiji, do you know everything? And Prabhupada said, yes. And the reporter said, how many windows are there in the Empire State Building? Prabhupada said, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? Okay, only two people know these things, you and the Guru. Your Guru Ma. So, the Guru, he knows everything. He knows everything. Or you can say he knows everything he needs to know. He doesn't need to know how many windows there are in the Empire State Building, because it doesn't matter. But he knows what he needs to know. And he knows Krishna will reveal to him what is in the disciple's heart that he needs to know. So when you're in the association of the Guru, sometimes you feel like the Guru is looking straight through you. Sometimes you feel like the Guru can see everything in your consciousness. Just like if you're thinking something, it's not the Guru knows what you're thinking at that minute, but if Krishna wants him to know something, then he will know it. Because he's Krishna's representative. Prabhupada said the Guru is not Krishna. Krishna knows everything. He knows what all of us are thinking right now at exactly the same time. Krishna knows everything about everything. He's Sarvagya. The Guru is not like that, but whatever he needs to know, he will know. But he can answer your questions. That's the point. So Yudhishthira is saying to Narada, please, you know everything. You tell us. That means he knows everything. Narada may not know how many windows there are in the Empire State Building, but Narada doesn't really care. Anyway, so. Okay. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, after hearing the request of Maharaj Yudhishthira, Narad Muni, the most powerful spiritual master, who knew everything, was very much pleased. Thus he replied in the presence of everyone taking part in the Jagya. So he became very happy. Devotees are happy when they get the opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness. No. Just like Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said when they introduced Prabhupada to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he'd not seen Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for many years. But then when they introduced him again after many years to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, yes, I have marked him. He likes to hear. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that Srila Prabhupada was enthusiastic to hear. And Prabhupada said later, when he came to the West, he said, because I was enthusiastic to hear from my guru, now I'm enthusiastic to preach. So when you become enthusiastic for Shravanam, then you become enthusiastic for Kirtanam, for preaching. When you hear nicely, then you become enthusiastic to preach. But if you don't hear nicely, what will you preach? If you fall asleep in the Bhagavatam class, what will you preach? If you stay awake, and if you come on time, you'll be very enthusiastic. So therefore, those who are enthusiastic to hear, they become enthusiastic to preach about Krishna. So you have to fill yourself up. Like you study Prabhupada's life. 6 years between 1959 and 65, before he came to America, 6 years he prepared himself in Vrindavan, absorbed himself in translating the Bhagavatam. Then he came to preach. Right? Absorbed. So once you absorb yourself, then you become enthusiastic to give it to others. The great sage Sri Naraji said, O King, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. I read this verse today while I was preparing. I've been looking for this verse since I became a devotee. Now it is confirmed. Narada is saying, this world is designed for suffering. Because sometimes I think, why am I suffering so much in this world? But Krishna is saying, right here, Narada is saying, the Bhagavatam is saying, it is designed for suffering. It is meant for suffering. Right? It's not meant for enjoyment. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. Krishna has already certified it. Right? It is only meant for suffering. Enjoyment is a phantasmagoria. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, enjoyment in this world is like flowers in the sky. Do flowers grow in the sky? No. It's a dream. So in other words, whatever you think you can enjoy in this world, it's only a dream. It's not real. There is no enjoyment here. Prabhupada was actually walking in the Royal Botanical Gardens, I think, just here in Melbourne. And he was walking, and Prabhupada was on a morning walk, and the devotees were behind him. Prabhupada was mentioning this on the morning walk. He said, there is no happiness in this material world. And he kept emphasizing this on the morning walk. He said, there is no happiness in this material world. And then they got to the lake in the Botanical Gardens, and there were some ducks playing. And then Prabhupada looked, and the ducks were splashing and playing. And Prabhupada said, maybe a little. But what is that? You take birth as a duck and you'll splash around. Prabhupada would walk on the beaches when he was walking around the world, and the surface, just like sometimes I go to Byron Bay with my friend, Tridish, you know, we go on the beach, we walk, and there's one tower on top of the rock, and then you can watch all the surfers, and the wave goes straight past the rock, so you can watch them. Sometimes we just sit there for 15 minutes, just watch all the surfers. Very, you can see the whole wave, and it's very interesting. And when Prabhupada, when he saw the surfers, he said, sufferers. Sufferers. He said, next life they will take birth as the dolphin. And then they will enjoy in the wave. Perfect body for that experience, like that. Now, Prabhupada was driving in Sydney, and he went from Sydney past Parramatta. Prabhupada said, Parramatta. Madness. And this world is only suffering. Like that. Little enjoyment. Like a duck in the water. Okay, one more verse. My dear King, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be his self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. So what is this called in Sanskrit? I and mine. What is it called? Aham mameti. Now this verse discusses in the Sanskrit. Aham mameti. So in this material world, everything is about aham. About me. That's what the material world is about. It's all about us. We are egocentric. We are the center of the universe. And mameti means whatever is connected to me, that is important. If it's connected to me, it's important. But if it's not connected to me, it means nothing. Just like I had one friend, a devotee, they had a pet parrot in the cage, like a bird. And the bird died. So then they put on the Facebook, they said they were so upset. The whole family was so upset because their bird died. They gave the bird lots of prasadam and everything like that. But for me, because there's no mameti, no connection to the bird, it didn't mean anything. No emotion in my heart. But for them, they said it took 2 weeks to recover from the bird dying. This is the nature of attachment in the material world. Two dogs are there. One dog is your dog, one dog is someone else's dog. For that dog you have no feeling. But for your dog there is so much feeling. Aham mameti. We become attached in this world to different things. So once you become attached, aham mameti, then duality arises. And then you'll say, that is my friend, that is my enemy, that is my pleasure, that is my distress. Like that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurya Kadambini, aham, I, in this material world, and we think, due to false ego, I am the enjoyer. But then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when you are pure in consciousness, aham means I am Krishna's servant. Aham mameti. And mama means, in this world, right, I am the enjoyer, and things are meant for my pleasure. But in pure consciousness, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, I am, aham, Krishna's servant, mameti, Krishna is mine. He is my master. I will not go to any other master, only Krishna. So that is pure consciousness, aham mameti. In the material world, aham mameti means something else due to false ego. But in the spiritual world, aham mameti is there. I am Krishna's servant and Krishna is my master. That is pure consciousness. So we'll stop here. Okay, for those who came late, don't ever do it again. I will give you your key memory verses now, because you came late, we gave them at the beginning of the class. Are you ready? You do not deserve to get them, but I will give them to you. So, you ready? Here have your pens. Canto 7, chapter 1, verse 31. Canto 7, chapter 5, verse 5. Canto 7, chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. No, 23 and 24. 23 and 24. It's a double verse. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. It's a double verse. And then, Canto 7, Chapter 5, verse 30. Four verses. You have to memorize them. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.